Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
I thought you were going to marry me. So we're going to have a good time here. Again, I want to get my gallery right. There you go. I want to welcome you to On the Edge. Brains, you are at the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, the responses are never dull, and look who we have here. We have the beautiful Virginia Baker Wolf, all the way from Australia. And we're going to talk about what? People's favorite subject, money, money mindset, women's fear around money, how to make money work for you, and how to live within your means. We all want to get to six and seven figures. We're going to put her to the test. We're going to ask her for one or two great suggestions on how we can do that, how we can deliver, but also how do we maintain it? It's one thing to get the money. It's another thing to maintain the money. So help me welcome her to the edge, Virginia Baker Wolf. How are you, beautiful?
Hello, April. Yes, I'm very well. Thank you.
Well, your sunglasses, they're your eyeglasses, because you have a lot like I do. They're fashion statements. Don't you agree?
Exactly.
And a good pair of sunnies or eyeglasses can take 10, 15 years off your look.
That's right. And I always make them match my earrings.
Look at that. You are such a fashionista. Tell us how your whole thing got started with money, of all things. Why are you fascinated with helping people grow their money?
Yeah. So back in about 2015, I realized that I really didn't know anything about money. And not only did I not know anything about it, I really didn't want to know much about it. I thought it was boring, very boring. And I let my husband do everything with the money. And I realized that I felt like a bit of a dill. Now, in America, they may not know what that is. A dill is an idiot. So I felt a bit like a dill about money, because I was a very competent, resourceful woman, but I really didn't understand all of the stuff about money, and I found it boring. And I also, I wasn't preparing properly for retirement. Now, that's a few years off for me, but I still, it needs a plan, and I didn't have a good plan. And so I started doing some reading, and at the same time, I started working with a money emotional freedom technique coach. So you know what tapping is, April?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I started working with somebody tapping.
Really? And I didn't know you could tap for money. I tap for stress. I tap for anxiety or depression or pain, but I didn't know you could tap for money.
You can tap for money.
Wow.
So I started the tapping for money, and I was reading. And as I always do, I went looking on Google for what sorts of money courses are there out there, like what kind of a course could I do about this? And I found one, an Australian one, and it looked good, and so I enrolled in that. And I might say that it was very good. It was really good for what it was, but it didn't touch the sides of where I was at with the issue about money. So I started doing more reading, because I did this course and I thought, yeah, but this doesn't match with what I need. So I've done it and I think it's great, but it's not what I need. So how would I get what I need? So I went looking further. I couldn't find what I needed. So I have a long professional history as a university lecturer and teacher.
Oh.
And I have a lot of experience designing courses and teaching courses and facilitating courses. So I thought, you know what, there's only one thing to do. Start reading properly, start doing all the research, and then write the course that you think is not out there. So that's what I did. So I kept doing the tapping. I tap nearly every day these days. I kept with the tapping, and I developed this course because it's a bit like when I want to know something, if I can't find it out there, I will create it. So that's what I did.
Okay.
And of course, the other bit that's important for your brains is that I'm International Coach Federation accredited, and I'm a certified money coach, certified by the Money Coaching Institute, which is in California.
Okay. So let's dig deep. What is a certified money coach? Most people say a certified money coach is the one that writes the check. What do they teach you in a course like that?
April, they teach you about how to manage your money mindset. And it goes through, there are four processes, four money coaching processes that people need to complete to get ahead with their money. And I'm not talking about financial literacy here. I'm talking about money mindset, because the reality is that 90% of money is emotional.
Oh, 98% is emotional. People will talk to you about their cancer before they talk to you about their money.
That is exactly right, April. Nobody talks to anybody about their money. And the interesting thing for women is, you know, the sisterhood, the sister circle, and women talk to each other about nearly everything, right? But people would prefer to talk about death than talk about money. And so women, we don't talk to each other about our money situation. And what that means is that we end up being very isolated and alone with whatever the money stuff is that's going on. So you can end up feeling very stressed and anxious, but you've got no one to talk to, unless, of course, you go and do some work with a therapist. But there's no one to talk to because people are too, there's too much taboo. So where women would normally get support from other women, we don't give each other support in regards to the money. And the sooner that women can normalize the conversation about money, the better off we'll all be. Because when women support each other, we accomplish great things together.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me chime in on a couple of things that you said. Number one, there's ignorance around money.
Absolutely.
Okay. And we're not talking financial literacy. We're talking about just basic arithmetic sometimes.
Yes, that's right.
Understanding your value, understanding your worth, how to make money work for you. I just left an event. You see these beautiful flowers here? I just left an event, and it was a seminar that my girlfriend, my financial planner hosts, and it was all women. And we talked about the emotion around money. Who handled the money? As you were growing up, what was your first introduction to money? Mine was, it had to be earned, but it also had to be shared. And it is a constant. It's like water. It needs to continuously flow. All right. And so the education around money is one thing. The emotion is another thing. But people get so, they get so tender because people think if you have money, well, I put it this way. I got some super, super rich friends. They don't talk about money. For what? It doesn't make them happy. It doesn't fulfill them. They can write a check for anything. They can go buy a brand new yacht and write a check. They got that kind of money, but they don't talk about it. But I look at some communities that their money determines their stature. They have to wear the designer clothes. They have to have a certain car. They have to live in a certain neighborhood. That validates them. And it's all about the dollar bill. And it's so wrong.
That's
so
right.
It's the mindset. Okay. And then the research that you've done is amazing. I went back and studied the dollars, for example, that were created by the Chinese as a form of a receipt. They could not necessarily move the cattle at that time. So they would give you this paper bill as a receipt for goods and services. They used to exchange people. They used to exchange feathers. They still, have slave labor. So money is really only as valuable as the emotion that you put behind it or the value you put on it. It devalues, it goes up and down. You look at the US currency, it's not backed by anything, no gold, no silver. Now they're doing these cryptocurrencies, all these electronic kinds of things. So when you work with your client, the first thing that you do with them, I'm sure, is to do an intake and find out what are your money blocks. And then once you establish that, then where do you go?
Okay, so first off, with any client, what I do in the first instance is establish rapport, because people are not going to talk to you about their money if they don't feel safe. So the first thing is to make people feel safe. And then the next thing is to see what are the blocks and what does it really mean? And then also, how does this person feel about it? And then what we then get into are the four core money coaching processes. So the first process is your money story. We all have a money story, and it's a story that was written actually when we were 4, 5, and 6. And the majority of us are still living that same story. And we don't realize it. We don't realize that we're living that story. So the first money coaching core exercise to do is a money bio. And by that I mean you have to go right back to the beginning of your life and you have to look at every single little thing that happened to you in regards to money. And it's just going back to what you were saying a moment ago, April. It's looking at the messages, the patterns, the paradigms that were made active in your family. So we do this huge money bio, and I also have a money question workbook so that you can then drill down. So if somebody says, well, Virginia, I can write a bio, but I can't get any deeper than that. Well, that's okay. I've got a whole list of questions for you. You will get deeper than that. And then the next thing we do, which feeds into this, is we do what's called the mother-father mirror exercise. And it could also be include your grandparents, and it might even include aunts and uncles. So whoever was very active in your childhood, we want to know how each one of those people managed money. How did they manage it? What did they say about it? What did they do with money? How did they earn money? What was their attitude to money? And we want to get that down about anybody who was important in this person's childhood. And then once we've got our list, let's say we've got two parents and a grandma and grandpa. So let's say we've got four people. The client then looks at what they've written down. And the question is, am I living this? Is this also my story? Is this also how I'm reacting to money? Because pounds to peanuts, it is. So by the time we get to the end of that, of those two exercises, we have a very, very good idea of this person's money history and what they're living. And the purpose of doing this is for them to understand the paradigms that are at work in their life. But then the challenge is to write a new story. And writing a new story actually can demand, for some people, a good deal of courage, because they have to be able to imagine themselves in a different story. Because, as I already said, most of the issues that we have with money have been developed by a four-year-old. And we are no longer 4 years of age. Mm-hmm. But we're still running the story of the four-year-old. So we have to get that story down, and then we have to come into adulthood about what do we want? What would we like for our money story to be? And then we need to write that story. Yeah. And people might say, yes, but that's not what I've got now. And I say, yes, but let's get very clear what your intentions are and your principles are and a destination. Like where do you want to get to? And what are the steps along the way? And there's a whole thing about enjoying the process, not just the result. So I want people to enjoy both the process and the result. Enjoy the process for how much clarity you are going to develop out of doing these two exercises. And then the next thing we do is a money archetype quiz. There are 8 archetypes, and this is a very simple tool. But as far as I have been able to determine it with the numbers of people I work with, it really knocks the nail on the head. Like, it really explains people's personalities around money. And there are 8 archetypes. There are 2 that are extremely positive. And the idea is to shift. There's a shift that takes place. And once again, we need intention in there. So we might shift from being the victim to being the money magician. And then the last thing we do, which is really so important, is a life inventory. And what I want them to do is to write their life and what they've learned from the time they were tiny till now. And I want it to include absolutely every single thing they've ever done that they thought was either good or achieved a lot, but something they felt positive about. And we can start with walking and talking. So it doesn't have to be huge things, you know? It can be all of the small things that added up to who you are. So the purpose of doing that is so that people can see that they have enormous inner resources to call upon. And those resources are extremely valuable. And the money piece is not necessarily any more important. The money as a resource is important. But when you add these life resources to the money resource, that's when people can really shine. But to get there, hang on, to get there, we need to do the work.
Well, you know, I want to dial back a little bit. I want people to learn to live within their means.
Absolutely.
Because the thing is, they're always trying to keep up with the Joneses.
I couldn't agree with you more, Amy.
You know, and what is for me is not for you. And old money versus new money. You know, people are brought up with pomp and circumstance. There are young women out there that their mothers require that they marry up. There are other people out there, excuse my French, scratching shit with the chickens, just trying to get the next $30, $40 to pay their utility bill or get their child something to eat. So living within your means, whatever those means are, is very important to identify. We're always chasing the carrot. What's the next thing that's going to make me happy? What's the next get rich scheme? What's the next great big stock option? But if you have not planted your feet on solid ground, believe me, brains, you're going to end up in quicksand, because just as quick as you can get it, you best to believe you can lose it. And people in the 19, my mother was born in 1929. You know, I remember my grandmother telling me how people were jumping out the window when the stock market crashed, and, you know, they're losing this and they're losing that. So that's a challenge. But you have a gift, you say, that you can help people get to 6 and 7 figures. The world is so topsy-turvy right now, especially after coming out of COVID. People have had to really edit and shift their careers. They've had to go into their savings. They've lost their businesses. What do you say to that person about trying to get a foothold and get back on that trajectory to 6 and 7 figures?
Well, it's a very good question, April. So the first part of your question, where people equate their self-value, their self-concept, their self-esteem, is only about the money that they earn and or, you know, invest or whatever, that the picture of their lifestyle and the way they live their life and the way they spend their money and, you know, the designer clothes and the designer handbag and their whole self value is based on this. So that's why we do the life inventory, because it's a very good idea to shift out of that thing about I am worth the same as my handbag. Well, no.
Let me tell you something funny real quick. I remember I worked a whole month and I bought a designer handbag. And my mother goes, you know what? She says, you have a $2,500 handbag and you don't have $50 in it.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly it, April. We all of us need to see ourselves as valuable above and beyond any money. The value of a human life and the value of what that human life brings to themselves and to other people to share is of far more value than the bank account balance. And the sooner people can shift into that, because what's happening is they are living with what we call a false sense of self. They're living with a false self. It's not real, because the handbag, the shoes, the neighborhood. I mean, what are you going to do if you get really, like, let's just say for an example, if you get really sick, what is going to be important? Mm-hmm. The designer handbag, the neighborhood, the designer shoes. What are they going to be important? No, absolutely not.
And if you die, and when you die, I have never seen a hearse, you know, with all your belongings going with you.
No, that's right.
These are material things. The richest people in the world are the ones with a good heart and a good soul. And if you live your life like this, brains, you see my hands are open? It's fluid. It's going to come and go. But if you're stingy and you're tight, you can't receive nor can you give. Money is energy. Money is a fluid. It is a source. And if you get that around your head, you will live in abundance. I remember I was in some financial trouble because we all go there. My mother made money seem like it grew on trees. Virginia, believe me, I was like the only child, and we wouldn't buy one pair of shoes. Oh, honey, we'd buy three and two and three outfits to go with it. And I say, can I go skating? Can I have $5? Oh, here's 20. But my stepfather, believe and trust, he could go in his pocket and he could literally feel whose face was on the bills. He was that tight. But he never had enough. They had to struggle for everything, every single thing. So I got myself in this financial trouble. And one day, I had a soul meeting. I wrote my money a letter. It was a love letter like no other. And my hand was going on the page, and I told it how controlling it was. It was manipulating. It got on my nerves. It made me cry, blah, 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 blah. I bet you it was a two-page letter. I have that letter to this day. But let me tell you what happened. It was a whole mind shift, just a download, just like that. I had to turn it over, and money wrote me back, Virginia. And it said, April, why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing me to control you and manipulate you? Why are you letting me have so much power over you? You know, I am nothing more than any other piece of paper on your desk. You stack me high. You give me all of this prestige. You sell your soul. When we get offline, I'm going to have to tell you about more about the letter. It was so intense. I cried for...
It's an interesting thing, but that love letter to money is an exercise I do with my clients and in my courses. Yes, I get them to write a hatred letter to money. Like, this is what you've done to me, money. And then I get them to start writing a love letter to money.
That's right.
And I even ask them to go so far as to write to money every day for 30 days. Because at the end of that 30 days, they're going to have a much better relationship with money, and it'll be much more grounded and internalized after the 30 days. So it's very interesting that you did this, because this is a technique I use, and it's an excellent technique.
It's an excellent technique. I mean, it's just like people that are in financial hardship. They don't want to open their mail. Brains is not going away. You get a letter from the IRS, and just because you don't open it doesn't mean you don't owe it. Face the fear, face the reality of what is going on, and it will not sting you. It won't kill you. It will awaken you. Work with brilliant people like Virginia. Grab books from the library. Have a heart-to-heart with your God and say, look, I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of struggling, you know? And it's hard once you're in that situation, but it is not impossible. Believe me, it is not impossible. You can overcome. Now, again, I love you dearly, and I know that you are an expert at what you do, but I don't know if everybody can get to that 6 and 7 figures. I really don't. But what they can do is they can rise above from where they are.
Absolutely. And going back to your question, April, about what would I say to these people? The first thing would be to get clear on their numbers. Yep. They need to be clear on their numbers. And what that means is they need to know what life is costing them per month. And they need to be very aware of what is coming in. So what's coming in, what's going out? And then the next question is, particularly in these COVID times, the next thing is, can you shave anything? Mm-hmm. So, for example, this is simple stuff, but for example, do you have a magazine subscription and you don't actually read the magazines anymore? Cancel it. Do you have 6 streaming stations of TV as well as cable? Do you need 6, or maybe you could do with 2 or 3? So this is the first thing.
Or the $7 cup of coffee that you need 2 or 3 of, you know, every day. But the thing is too, is also go back and look at, I know during COVID, I couldn't believe this. The gym was not charging me once, but twice a month because they have automatic debit. I wasn't even thinking about that until I got the bill all of a sudden. You know, you can go back and you can check your interest rates.
That's right.
Or you can freeze credit cards or reduce the amount of credit cards that you're working with people, or a shop for a better rate. Go in and say, hey, look, you know, renegotiate your home loan. This is the perfect time. There's a lot of cost savings, but you've got to be able to do the work. And like I said, Virginia is a magician at what she does. But if you don't show up and be the rabbit inside of that hat, nothing's going to pop up. Wouldn't you agree? You got to do the work. You got to do the work.
And then the other few things, April, that I'd say is shave wherever you can, but know your numbers. Mm-hmm. And then I would say have a look. You know, have a look, just write down what you think your story is. Write down what your mother felt about money, what your father felt, and how can you flip that? Mm-hmm. So if people can sort out the various beliefs they have about money that are negative and then flip them, you have to flip it and reframe it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's really important is, what could they do to bring in some more money? Like if they're struggling, what could they do to bring in more money?
Right.
So, I mean, the answers to that are various. So you can sell stuff that you've got. You can declutter. And you can look at yourself and say, what skills do I have that I might be able to teach somebody? Because online learning at the moment is a huge industry. Mm-hmm. And what could I do to teach somebody? And if I don't have the money to set any of that up, how could I start doing that? And this is why that life inventory is so very, very, very important. It raises people's self-esteem and self-confidence so they can look at it and say, I'm the best cheese maker in the world, cheesecake maker. I'm the best cheesecake maker there is. Okay, good. Start selling your cheesecake.
That's right.
You know? So to get to 6 and 7 figures, first of all, we have to say, let's get to 5 figures and move from there. And the steps are cumulative. So they grow on each other. They grow on top of each other. So the early skills about being conscious about your numbers is the first step. And then, of course, people will say, well, what about manifesting? What about that? Can't I just manifest my everything I want?
And no. Manifestation takes work, and I'm a master at it, baby. It takes work. It's not cookie cutter. It's not an I wish or an abracadabra.
That is absolutely right, April. It takes work. And I am not for one moment suggesting that is not good work. I think it's excellent work. I do it myself. I visualize every day, every single day I visualize. And if I haven't had time or I didn't think about it, about visualizing, and it got away from me today, when I get into bed and I'm going to sleep, I do it then.
NLP?
I see on a screen what I want to come into my life. So I am not poo-pooing manifestation at all, and I'm not poo-pooing The Secret. I think that's all wonderful stuff, but I would underline it with what you said. It requires work.
That's right.
So not only does it require work, just because you're doing that work over here doesn't mean that over here you don't do this money mindset.
Right. You're just sitting there. Okay, well, you know, I'm thinking of a $10,000 check. I'm thinking, but what are you doing? Manifestation is doing work, the mind work. Yes, it is possible. They print money every day. You can have that. But what are you doing? Like Virginia said, do you have a side hustle? You know, are you, you know, a mechanic on the side? Are you a plumber? Are you a gardener? Are you a baker? You know, do you have a bunch of purses that you haven't used that you could put on eBay and resell, you know, at least to get you out of the hole? And then you start getting hungry. You start being like a vampire. You taste the blood, and then you want more and more and more. And then it comes. What would you say to young people right now? Because they, you know, they don't care. They're in college. They got a credit card. They're maxing it out. What do you say to them about breaking this epigenetic cycle of money problems and money chaos? How do they start fresh?
They start, and look, I have two children, April. I have a girl of 34 and a boy who's about to turn 32 tomorrow.
Oh.
And he's in LA. And the first thing for the young people is to know that, I know this is hard for them, but the first thing for them to know is that, let's say they're 28 and life is out in front of them. And my answer is, in 5 minutes, you're going to be 60.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how fast it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So in your 20s, you already need to have a plan. You need to know what your intentions are. Where do you want to end up? What do you want to create along the way? How can you get to know your numbers so that it becomes second nature to you? And what I suggest is an Excel spreadsheet, an Excel budget, make it fun. Get it the Excel thing where it adds up your numbers and it does all of that. Start working with one of those. If you say to me, but Virginia, I'm waitressing. I only earn $70 a week, and then my mum gives me a bit over here, I say, doesn't matter. I don't care. Put it all on your little spreadsheet so that you can see what money is coming in and you can see what you are spending money on. Now, I've got a young person who I've worked with, and she's a niece of mine, and so she's like 30-ish. I recommended to her an Australian book, money book, and she sort of took it and looked at it and she said, ho-hum, money's very boring, not interested.
Hmm.
Okay, a few months later, how are you going with that book? Oh, yeah, a little bit, yeah. Next conversation, she and her husband have started saving a massive amount of money per month. So what she did was go back and look at where she spends the money. And she realized that she spent an awful lot of money on clothing and shoes. And this young couple have saved a lot of money because they became conscious of what they were doing and they wrote it down, like in a spreadsheet. They had a good money date with each other, however often you need that, weekly, monthly, fortnightly. They had a meeting together and they decided on their goals. And for this young couple, their goal was to increase their housing deposit. So they were highly motivated. But I would say to any young one in their 20s, it's all going to be here before you know it. You're going to have kids that you want to spend money on before you know it. A whole load of stuff's going to happen before you know it. So start now. Start knowing your numbers. And if you are, say you are in college, like you said, you are in college and you are living on a credit card because that's a bit tough, then I say to you, then you need to be very careful what you spend. Don't spend more than you can afford. If you want that pair of shoes, you're going to have to go out and find a way to get it besides putting it on a credit card. I would also tell them, and this is another technique, April, particular for the young ones. I would tell them to start an automatic savings, a deduction. So you've got your main savings account, and then over here you've got this other account. So you've got an account like your current account, that's what you use day in and day out. And over here you've got a savings account that you do not touch. So over here out of your current account, you do an automatic transfer to the savings account. Now, if you say to me, Virginia, I'm a student, my answer to that is ho hum, ho hum. You need to do this regardless. So I don't care if you only save $10 a month. It's about your mindset. It's not about the amount of money. So if you're earning a lot more money, you can decide on what that salary deduction might be. But if you don't have the money to save, because that's what some people will say, but I don't have money to save. I say, yes, you've got $10. Stop having that coffee and make it an automatic savings, because what that does for their mindset is help them feel that they are taking responsibility, that they are taking some control. They are changing their self-concept in regards to managing money. And the idea is, if they're in college, they're young, they're not earning very much, they don't have very much. You start this kind of pattern, it's a pattern. You start this kind of pattern, and by the time they get to the point where they are earning money, they've already got this habit. It's like developing a habit.
It is a habit, it's an ugly habit. But another thing I want you to consider too, Brains, is your credit, okay? Your credit is a form of currency. Your word is your bond. If you borrow from an institution or an individual and you don't pay back, you lack integrity. Karma, it's going to come back to haunt you. Look at your credit. Sometimes you can have excellent credit and be trustworthy and get the things that you want. That could leverage you into a business opportunity. You are showing that you're trustworthy. Do you know that your credit report here in the United States can hold you back from being promoted or getting a job? Just by having bad credit. That's by not paying your bills. That is a part of the cycle. It is a part of your responsibility. It is a part of that churning of the machine. You know, have you ever pulled a chain and had a link in the chain, and then all of a sudden the chain broke? You know, you have to really be aware of what you're doing. Be cautious. Loaning people money. Putting your name up for them on your credit report, you know, the disrespect of your parents. You know, your parents, you're in college and they'll give you anything, but you know they're paying that tuition too, and you're just charging and running amok. You have to understand what this is. This is setting up a lifelong, as you say, pattern. So tell us a little bit about the courses that you're offering now to people to really kind of get them on the right footing.
Track, yeah. Okay, so the course that I'm launching today, well, which I've been launching over the last, you know, week or so, but today it'll be final. That's a 6-module course, and we cover those 4 key money coaching techniques. So we go through that. So module one is all about your money story, and it includes all of the exercises that I spoke with you about. The second part of it is the module two is about getting to know your money self. Who is your money self? So we do two quizzes. One quiz is about your money archetype, and the other quiz is about your values. How do you align your money with your values? And there's a quiz for that. And they also get a 30-page ebook about setting up some exercises to make sure that they are living in line with their values. Because when we live in line with our values, our sense of success, our sense of fulfillment and satisfaction is multiplied than if we're not living with our values. The third part is dealing with your money blocks. So we determine what your blocks are. The fourth part is a practical part. And when I say the practical part, there are nine issues that we go through, and they're similar to the issues that we've been talking about today. And one that I think is really important for the ladies who are running a side hustle is, do they know what their time is worth? Because let me tell you, I would say a majority of freelancers and side hustlers do not actually know what their time is worth.
They don't.
So I've got an exercise in there, a completely, you know, numbered 1, 2, 3 step thing for finding out what your time is worth per hour. So somebody will say, for example, I'm charging $150 as a freelancer. And then I ask them, how much are they going to earn per month? So then we know the number of hours they need to work. But then, April, we look at the things that people don't take into account, like professional development, professional membership, insurances, office costs, and we go utilities. So we go through all of that. And then, of course, also your taxation. Are you putting any money aside for your tax? Because if you're a freelancer, this can become a really stressful, difficult issue. So
it can wipe you out.
That's right. So you need to be charging, including the tax up front. Mm-hmm. And then when you get that payment in and you say, well, I don't know how it is in the States, but here it's around 28 to 30%. So you need to put that in an account and not touch it so that when the tax man comes around, you don't get upset. Mm-hmm. So I go through 9 issues that are completely practical, and I tell them they have to know what their numbers are. And I also give them the Excel spreadsheet that I like the best. I like it the best because of the categories, and it's so clear and it's so easy to operate. Because one of the things, the young ones don't have any trouble with an Excel spreadsheet, but people find money boring. But if you've got something you can just fill in and play with the numbers, you can make it into a game. And when they tell me that money's boring, and I say to them, but going on a holiday, a vacation, that's not boring. Oh, no, I love vacations. Good. Well, how are you going to save the money to get to the vacation if money's boring? So money is not boring. Money is a means to an end. And if your end is a vacation, you need to start saving now. And then the fifth, so that's 9 topics that are completely practical. Mm-hmm. And then in module 5, I go through some stress busting techniques, because women, the great majority of women, have tremendous anxiety about money. And you know when you said not opening the mail? That is very common. Not looking at bank statements is very common. So for women to be able to work with this, we have to have a method to soothe ourselves. Mm-hmm. So module 5 is the 3-step circuit breaker. So when you're doing some of this work, you need a circuit breaker. So say you're writing something in your money biography and you find it quite distressing, you know, you realize you know, you realize a few things about your story and it's distressing and you're feeling a little bit upset or, you know, flighty, then you want to do one of these stress busting techniques. They're not hard, they're easy as apple pie, and you don't have to spend any money on them either. And then module 6 is a wrap up of everything. And I make sure that they can reframe any negative beliefs, that they have a system, a technique to reframe. So if I say, for example, if I say, I can't afford that handbag, right? Or no, let's choose a different one. Somebody says I'm mean with money. I won't lend them money because I'm mean with money. Okay, fair enough. That's what they think. And then I can say to myself, is that really true? Am I mean with money? Where's the evidence? No, I am not mean with money. So this person says I am. I know for a fact I'm not. So then you create a reframing belief, and that would be, I am generous with money and I use it wisely. It may not be wise to lend this person money. So I am generous with money. I can be generous, but I will look at the issue and I will decide from a point of wisdom and generosity. So I'm not mean. No, they can think whatever they like. But what we want is the person to have their own belief system that they can flip it. Because, April, what we all do, me included, I include myself in all of this, but me included, is that we repeat to ourselves in our head the negative thing that somebody has dumped on us. So this one says I'm mean. So I go around thinking, oh, my God, I'm mean. No, reframe it. There's no evidence for that.
It's a guilt trip. It's a guilt trip, and it's a form of manipulation so that the other person can get your money.
That's right.
So they can get what they own. But, you know, me and my husband have this philosophy. We don't borrow and we don't loan.
No.
If someone is, you know, in need, and if there's something that I can do within my boundaries, I'll help you out. But you best believe that if you don't pay back when you say you're going to pay back, there's an issue. You just bought, I just bought you. For whatever that is, because it's an integrity thing. Like I said, it's your credit, whether it is in writing or your word is your bond. Well, Virginia, you have been a wealth of information. I just love talking to you. There is so much that we could talk about. Brains, get your head around your money. If you just look at it, deal with it. And also, we're going to bring her back, talk a little bit about investing it, because you've got to teach money how to work for you, baby. You ain't always got to work for the money. You got to learn how to make smart investments, be it with interest rates, side hustles, stock market, you know, what are these other options and other tools to help that money grow? You know, the little savings account, oh my God, the interest in that is, I don't even know. Do they even pay interest anymore? You don't hear about money markets. You don't hear about, you know, time deposits, stocks, bonds, very rarely. So you have to understand financial literacy and global financial literacy. You know, the money may not be in Australia. It may not be in the US. You might be able to invest in different countries, different currencies. Teach your children about world currency. Don't just, oh, okay, well, we don't have any money. Teach them what money is used for, how to use it wisely. Teach them at an early age. You are so brilliant. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you. Brains, again, check her out. Go in, sign up for her course. She's got a course that she's running now. She's cut the rate to enable you to be able to afford it so that you can start, you know, on the good foot and get yourself together so that you can be rich. Come on and get in contact with you, Miss Virginia.
April, they can come to my website. It's called themoneyproject.net. And if they want to talk to me, I'm happy to talk to them. They on my website, there is a there's a scheduling button. If they wanted to talk to me for 15 or 20 minutes to suss me out, I'm very happy to talk to them. But themoneyproject.net, that will find me. Also Facebook, if they just key in a search for The Money Project, it'll come up. And then the other thing, April, is my big course. That is 1,500 Australian dollars. So, you know, 1,100 $1,200 US. It includes a load of other things on top of the money mindset momentum. And it includes things like dealing with the syndromes. There are three syndromes that have an inordinate impact on women. Prince Charming is still active. The bag lady, many women have the bag lady in their head. I had the bag lady in my head. And imposter syndrome. So we deal with those three syndromes, and then we deal with things like under-earning, overspending, being enough. So it goes into some more personal development issues. And so we're working with those personal development issues through the topic of money. But those personal development issues will affect every part of a person's life.
That's right. That's right. And if you get in an alignment, believe me, it's like strategic planning. When I manifest, brains, I already see the income of the outcome. I already see myself sitting at a certain place, being on a certain vacation, tasting a certain wine, eating a certain food, writing a certain check. I already see it. It creates a memory in my mind. So if there's a memory, there's something to look back on. Then I go into the resources. How am I going to get that? Who am I going to work with? People like Virginia. Am I going to listen to podcasts? Am I going to read books? Am I going to open my mail? And then the money can't do anything but fall right in line. Try it. Let me tell you, you got two witnesses here, me and Virginia. We know we've done it. And I want you to have it too. Brains, go back and listen to other edgy conversations. We've got everything for you. We've got love. We've got more on emotional freedom technique too. We've got some specialists that'll teach you how to tap your way into happiness. Thank you so much. I'm going to try that tapping for some money. I never tried that. I'm going to try that, Virginia. Thank you, Brains. I'm wishing you the best. I pray a blessing over your finances, your heart, your mind. Get it together. We're looking for you.